Now, we're talking about the forthcoming album, The 38.
Yes.
Why the title?
Wait and see.
Oh. Oh. You can't say. You're not going to say at the moment. No, you can't.
No, don't say anything.
No, I want to.
I will keep that in surprise. Lots of reasons.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So, what's going to be on the new album? Are you moving away from what you did on the Mighty Small? Are we going to expect sort of similar style, or is it?
Kind of like I like to think of progression on from what we were doing on the Mighty Small. There was a lot of it was very eclectic, the collection of songs. And although I do have an eclectic writing style, I think that this album will be that kind of rocky, poppy, indie sort of style.
Mm.
But that encompasses so many different styles of music these days anyway. There is a political edge to it, tied up with a love of life and a love of the people around me and change and embracing change. That's a big theme in the album as well. And really, it's just, I think, for me, I kind of have a whole concept of ideas that I want to write down, like story-wise or thoughts-wise or comments or whatever. And then that kind of dictates the mood of the album once I start to record and write those songs and put them down. And the four that are currently standing there already recorded for the album, I'm really enjoying the process of sort of deconstructing from acoustic into digital and electronic music. Which I kind of touched upon in the last album. Mm-hmm. So I like it. I like the music styles to progress through an album as well as the songs and the performances and the recordings. So in the same way that I build and loop and construct a song on stage, yeah. I like to try and do that with a concept on an album. So that's where the 38 is coming from.
And when's it going to be released? Is this
we're looking at November.
No, yeah.
Which, you know, we're hoping it's going to be, it will be ready for then. I don't think it will be out before then, but we're certainly, I try and play as many of my tracks as I possibly can, certainly the new ones. And you can always tune in on a Thursday night to our Facebook page at 9 o'clock. And we do the studio at the end of the universe, which is me doing my live blog, video cast thingamy jiggamy, where I play and loop my little studio at the end of the universe. Basically you can always catch some of the new tunes on there, or sketches or ideas, or it's really a place for me to sort of just pick tunes apart and mess around with them. So for the 38, it was about getting down with the times, embracing change, and putting a political opinion in there. Not like I'm saying, oh, vote Labour or vote this or vote that. It's more just kind of saying, you know, what about this? Well, what is that question important? Well, does that matter?
Mm.
You know, what do we think of this? You know,
there are other parties available as well. I must just say that in the just so we have to steer away from politics during
yes,
the day.
Sorry,
there are other parties. There we go.
Yeah, there are. There are yeah. other parties, mm-hmm. people.
There we go.
Yes, mm. more of a commentary than a decision, than giving you my political standpoint
yep.
there. But like I say, you don't touch on the political in the sense of sort of saying, well, you should do this, you should do that. Really, it's just about posing questions. The fact that some of those happen to be political is really more a testament of the time that we're living in. You know, and you write and reflect the times that you're living in, the things that you're going through. So that's kind of how the connection is made.
And do you scribble down lyrics all the time? Are you kind of, or do you have to be in the studio to be in the mood to do tracks, or you just sit there and go, "Oh, got a lyric," and
I have books strategically placed everywhere that
yep.
I can scribble in, and pens strategically stuck in places,
well,
which
go.
Sounds wrong.
Hello, Martin.
It? Sorry, I have like pens in the, you know, like chuck a book by the loo.
You're making it worse
book
now.
By my bed. There's a book by several books in the studio. Always got one carrying around with me. I mean, I've written on songs on the back of Tesco receipts and fag packets and things, you know. The lyrics always come out. A really good one will stick in your head.
Mm.
But, you know, these days I've just got so much flying around in there that I try and get them scribbled down as quickly as I can. So, yeah, always carry a book.
Mm.
If you're really tech savvy, you can do it on your phone. There's some great little apps that you can get on your phone, like mini recording studios, so you don't even need to do much apart from just sort of, you know. I recorded a little song on holiday on one of the mini recording studios on my phone.
Mm.
So I use that to record lyrics where I can, but there is the added problem of losing them when you're on the phone.
Yeah.
I like, you know, when you write them in a book, you can go, boom, they're in a book. But on a phone, you just kind of...
Lose the books.
Yeah, it's harder to lose a book, but my phones I seem to lose on a regular basis. Destroy, damage, break, wipe, whatever. So I keep it as old-fashioned as I can.
Yeah, I think that's the best way, really.
We did actually go to a gig once in London, and partway back from the gig, the thought crossed our minds, did you put the lyric books away?
I left the lyric bag.
And we left the book and table. It was an awful moment that we could have lost these lyric books, which are so precious. So we had to turn around and go all the way back.
Was it we or was it you that left them?
I carried them around me most of the time, so I just took my bag off and left them sat under the table having a beer. And I just walked off without them.
That happened to my friend. She had all her gigs in her phone, got in the car. You know, when sometimes you put on top of the car. I don't know why people do that. I never do. Probably because I'm not tall enough. Put a phone down,
I put my coffee on top of the car. I've done that loads of times. I've got Costa coffee, stuck it on top of the car. Sorry, not mentioning brands, Cafe Nero. Apologies.
My coffee is available from other outlets.
Cafe Nero plays my music, but I drink Costas. Isn't that pretty bad? I drink Cafe Nero as well. I do, you know. I put my coffee on top of the car. Yeah. I've done that so many times. You used to have a car with a sunroof as well. So you can do the moment you drive away and you go,
goodbye, coffee. So with all the promotion, I mean, because now you've got obviously Facebook Live, got Instagram, there's so many things. Is it easier to get your music out there? Or do you want to keep some of it back? I mean, how does it work to sort of get
it's
out
like
to the masses?
It's a floodgate. There is no regulation. There is no control, which makes it very difficult for any artist trying to make a living.
Because there's so much rubbish. Everyone wants to be a musician nowadays. It's all an actor.
There's nothing to stop someone turning up to a gig and videoing something and putting up the internet. There's nothing to stop people listening to the tracks. You know, you want coverage. And the flip side of it, of course, is that you want to be able to earn a living so that you can keep creating.
Yeah.
So until there's a proper regulatory system in place for internet music, and like there is for the film industry, or like there is, they try and have the film industry, and it's policed properly, then it is very difficult. It's not hard to get your music out there.
Yeah.
Is it hard to organise control? Yes. And that makes it difficult to try and regulate an income from it all, unless you've signed a deal to Warner Brothers or you're big. So it is difficult, and they're constantly weighing up the costs of giving away stuff and promoting and trying to get as much stuff out there as you can with trying to tie that in with making a living and getting yourself into a position where you can make that work for you.
I think that's common to all artists, whether they're signed, unsigned, starting out or not starting out. You know, the way that everything is deregulated and, you know, music is out there now and people can get hold of it one way or another. So I think if you're reliant on making a living from just your recorded output, then you're going to struggle big style, and I don't care at what level you are. And I think that's what the brilliance of having an artist like Paolo is, because he's so, as you've already talked about, his live performances are so incredible and different and unique that there is a good living to be made there, which can be supplemented by the recorded material. But just reliant on that now these days, it would just be impossible to make a living on just, unless you're Ed Sheeran, of course.
Yeah, well, I'm not.
One of the other sides of being signed as well is, of course, you have an office of people working for you, and that's part of the challenge as well, you know, keeping an eye on absolutely everything. And every time you add a new system to the mix, you've got to police that and manage that and work that.
Yeah.
So there is strength in numbers in that respect. But I think the beautiful thing about it is that you can be more creative with it all. You can be more in touch with people. There are facilities available that allow you to do that. I'm conscious of moving away from the phone. I keep sitting back in my chair. That's what it is. I'm getting relaxed.
Get near that microphone.
So it's a lot easier to get stuff out there. It is a lot easier. You just got to try and manage it as best you can, really. You know. And in a band, it's easier, obviously, because you've got more members. So it's about trying to find your comfort zone with it all, I think, and making sure that you tickle the boxes.
I have to say a big thank you to you as well, because all the years I've been gigging and the gigs I've got people by recommending them to pubs and to bars and to weddings, I think you and one other person out of all the gigs I've got, and I must have given people probably about 20 gigs to different artists that are still my friends on Facebook, and you're
that's a
you,
hint, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. And you are the only one that got me a return gig back, which I do now and again, and you do
I do one of your ones back then. If there was a little bit more of that in the world in general, a little bit more giving, then I think it would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. Mm. You know, it is difficult because there is the assumption that, you know, to give away things is to give away an opportunity of your own.
Yeah.
But what I think I've always enjoyed, and one of the reasons why we do our own show in Chelmsford is because good music will out. And I used to find it when I played in my three-piece band when I was in the Mariners, and we would turn up to a show, and the attitude of all the bands that you were turning up to, that you turn up to the show, and you don't know any of these people, you know, you're playing the same venue, you'd assume a sense of camaraderie would prevail, but more often than not, people are very nervous or sometimes very angsty or whatever. So there'd be occasional nods, but that was it. No conversation. Nobody wanted to talk to anybody until the sound checks were done, and it was at the end of the sound checks that you learnt the caliber of who was who and where was where and why who was playing what. And I was very fortunate to have an awesome rhythm section. We were very tight as a unit and rehearsed a lot, enjoyed rehearsing. So we never had any problem. But it used to silence people when we would play out because, you know, that kind of moment when you go, damn, they're good. You know, I could follow that.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But I agree with you. It's hard, isn't it? You know, because I love putting bands on, but then in the same sense, you really, as a musician, you hope that gets reciprocated, because if it isn't, then it can feel like you're forever doing other people things other people, which is lovely because you love the music and you love the opportunity. But still, there's kind of like an unwritten rule where, which isn't viewed by a lot of musicians. It really isn't. No. And it's a respect thing. Yeah. And it's like, look, we do for you, you do for us. And that's kind of like a rule of thumb. Yeah. I think what you find generally is higher up the echelons of the music industry, it's very much like that, which is why who you know is more important than what you know. Mm. I know. I feel your pain.
Yeah, exactly. But you're welcome, darling, really bitter, anytime. Sounds so bitter and horrible, doesn't it, really?
You bitter, twisted presenter.
What's he typing in his phone? Michelle is bitter. Is he Martin going, she's a bitter, twisted old bat? Yeah, we know that.
This morning.
Yeah, there we go. Now we're going to... I haven't got the wrong opinion. You're a fantastic manager. If all artists had a manager like you, they would be happy, because you do loads. He's a very good manager.
Thank you.
You are. You're a nice guy too. A nice guy.
I'll give you the tenner later.
And you smell nice. When you came in, you smell nice.
You did.
Not that you don't normally.
I told you I'd been bleaching myself.
Let's not go there.
I have nothing to do with that conversation. No, I just want to say I'm in another section of the studio. We'll leave Martin and Michelle to enjoy themselves in the booth.
Now, we're going to play a song to end on from the album The 38. This is going to be this. We have played this on Phoenix FM.
Thank you, my love.
And will this be released as a single in November, or is this just this is an extra for this album? Because it came in between the Mighty Small and the 38.
I think as we're actually doing this project, I think as Paolo's writing, I mean, the album's kind of formulating itself, and so some of the tracks will then go on and be part of the 38. Some of them probably may not. But we're putting records out, tracks out there for people to hear new material and what have you. And this one is out there, and you know, we put it out earlier in the year. Mm. That's not to say that we may not come back to it later in the year.
Yeah.
As we may do with one of Paolo's other tracks called It's Only Love, which Paolo's done a re-record on, which is a wonderful track, and I think that will probably be the next track we go back to. So lots of revisiting of tracks, and at the end of the year we'll hopefully have an album.
And just all the details for your social media. Oh, Martin.
Me?
No, not your social media, for Paolo.
Your social media.
My name's Martin, and... where's the best place? Is it better to go to your website?
Go to our Facebook page. We the website as well, of course. You can go to the website. We're just updating a few bits and pieces on there. It's paolomorena.com is the website. It says PAOLOMORENA. You can find us on Facebook under The Mighty Small or under my name. You can find me there too. SoundCloud, we're on there. In fact, if you get to the website, on the top right-hand corner of the website page, there are links to the SoundCloud page, there are links to the Facebook, the Twitter, Instagram, I believe. And we're just about to put the Spotify one on there as well, so that you can start adding the tracks to your playlist. And I'm hoping in the next few months we'll be able to put my back catalogue of albums up on the playlist, which is something that hasn't been out and released generally to the public for a long time. And that includes tracks from the days when I had played with other musicians in the lineup. See, I've only ever been in one band. Mm. The it's manifested in different ways. You know, I've been the one person who stayed with it since I was at school. A bit like Trigger's Broom. You know, changed the head and the handle, but the pin, the nail that holds the two together, that's been there the whole time. So there are albums and material that are recorded with other people, other musicians. Great albums, good songs. I'd love to get out and allow people to have a listen to. So I'm looking to put those up onto my Spotify as soon as possible so that people can enjoy those as well. And the process with a new album, you know what it's like these days? Releasing an album is kind of an old-fashioned thing to do. We don't really... We work on a singles basis or a track-by-track basis. Mm. You do release an album, obviously. But so from our point of view, when I was looking at doing this, it made sense to try and keep releasing a song every few months or every month.
Yeah.
Because that way you keep in contact with your fans, keep people up to date with what's going on, and you build into the album.
Yeah.
And as I say, you know, there are so many... I don't know about yourself, you probably do the same thing. You write songs that you think will be on the album, or you overwrite. You know, I'll probably write 20, 30, 40 tunes, and then out of that, the 8, 10, 11 of them will make it onto the album because their theme is unified, because they work well as a group. So because of that, I love to release stuff that isn't, you know, going to be on there, and or even stuff that is, and different versions of things, acoustic versions of stuff, you know. So we try and filter as much as I can through to people listening. And that's why the Studio at the End of the Universe will be on tonight if all our technical stuff goes correct. Because we have so many technical issues, it's comical. Then you get the chance to hear songs that I wouldn't necessarily have the opportunity to play. Certainly don't get the chance to play in the live show.
Yeah.
You know, so...
So that's tonight at 9 o'clock on Facebook Live.
Tonight at 9 o'clock Facebook Live. You will be on our Facebook page. Please check it out. It'd be great to have you there.
And Treasure in the Trash, which is a song we're going to end on. And this is a recording.
Treasure in the Trash.
I did say it correctly. I knew you were looking at me as I was saying
Treasure in the Trash.
You can initialise.
I didn't think like that when I said it. You know.
Just use the initial.
No, I'm not going to use the initial. Thank you very much.
Tits.
Yeah, thank you.
That one of those wonderful moments where you're one of the Trotters Independent Traders. There you are. Tits.
Thank you. Tell us about the track. Just keep saying that word over and over again. Said teeth. Teeth, I think it's the word
teeth.
Yes, anyway.
Treasure in the Trash. Well, it's relatively self-explanatory from the title. This is about the things where we place our value on things. I think that's incredibly relevant in today's media-strung market. You know, what do you place a value on? What's important to you? What do you consider to be treasure? And what do you consider to be trash?
Oh, a nice link in. I'll cut my bit out there. Thank you very much
You're
for coming in.
Welcome.
And here is...
it's lovely to see you.
Paolo with Treasure in the Trash.
There are stars in the gutter, hopes down.